Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune, the sports editor of the Union Tribune, Jay Posner. Jay, before, now understand, folks, on the podcast, we're doing this live on Facebook, and Jay, I haven't just missed that lava lamp for the last five or six of these, right? That is that a new accessory there in the?
You know, the lava lamp was on the other side of the other lamp that's there.
Okay.
And I had a special request from someone who would know that the lava lamp was on the other side and said, why don't you show the lava lamp instead of the other lamp? It looks better.
Okay.
So I'm always looking for design tips and always looking to, you know, make certain people happy. So there you have the lava lamp.
Okay, I'm sorry, folks, before we do a pre-production thing, we're talking, and then we go to that intro there. And right before we go to the intro, I said, the lava lamp. Sorry, I had to ask about it. Padres, 4 against the Dodgers after taking 2 of 3 against the Diamondbacks. They are 9-7, heading up to Los Angeles. I'll be heading up there as soon as we wrap up here. Jay, besides Fernando Tatis Jr., which we...
No, wait, you missed the obvious segue there.
Uh-oh.
Who is hotter than lava right now?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, boy, I know. Sorry.
I just thought maybe I could see how far into this we could go without talking about Fernando Tatis.
I don't think we can go any deeper than we already have. It's funny. We talked about it on Friday, and I mentioned that people are already stressed out about contract and what's going to happen and how long is he going to be here and when is he going to leave, like all these other great players left. And he said, you know, why don't we just enjoy what we have right now? We get a chance to watch this guy play every game. You know, we can worry about the other stuff a little bit down the road. He's not going anywhere right now. Hopefully he doesn't go anywhere ever. And sure enough, he has a weekend that, you know, few guys have ever had. The first pitch Friday night, he hits out. I think I even texted you and said, what did we just talk about with this guy? And then Saturday night, I was there for my first appearance, which we can get to a little later. And, you know, he, as I said, he slumped that night. He waited two pitches to hit a home run, hit another one later. Yesterday, he waited a whole, two innings to hit a home run. It's just ridiculous right now what he's doing. And even, I think he struck out 2 of his first 3 times up yesterday. But in the middle, you know, he hits this bomb for another home run and add another hit later. And he's been flawless in the field so far. So I don't know what else to say about him. And we have all this time to talk about it. But I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. And it's just, you know, and it's not just the numbers, but it's how much fun he is. It's fun to watch a guy who has that much fun, you know, doing what he's doing. That's the kind of attitude you would like everybody to have about not just baseball, but I guess, you know, life in general. He just always looks like he's having a great time. You know, he's working his butt off to make this happen. He's not just dancing around all the time. He's working at it.
It is. He works incredibly hard. He also has a talent that, gosh, I mean, a handful of people in that play this game. Because right. If Fernando Tatis' dad wasn't Fernando Tatis Sr., if Fernando Tatis wasn't born in the Dominican, or I mean, sorry, he was born in Canada, I believe, actually. I forget. Mm-hmm. But anyway, if he wasn't Dominican, he'd be a wide receiver in the NFL and already on his second contract, maybe. You know,
right.
Something. He would have been a 3-sport star in high school. He's just that kind of athlete, is my point. You watch him dance in the on-deck circle and you go, that's a kid. I hope that he's doing that when he's 28, 29, that life hasn't just taken it out of him. I want to point out one thing that's spectacular this year. He did not change the way he played. And this is what he meant all along. He's still going to go for 3 when most people would go for 2 sometimes. Mm-hmm. He is still going to run out almost every single ground ball as if his life depended on it. And when the opportunity is there, which it hasn't been, he'll dive in the field. But you notice there hasn't been a spectacular play in the field this year. Now, you want a spectacular, him ranging out practically to the warning track in left field to catch flying balls is amazing and all that. But in terms of he's being a little more prudent with his body. And I think that is fantastic news. And he's making every single routine play. I just was trying to come up with something new to talk about him with, and that's important.
Yeah, no, it is. And I mean, I remember maybe one throw where I think the first baseman yes. had to save him, and that's been it. I mean, everything else is on the money, and it's also, you have to keep telling yourself he's played 100 games, you know, 100 big league games, and you try not to get carried away with someone after 100 games. But in this case, I don't see how you can avoid it.
He has gone 2 games without getting on base 3 times. He's never gone 3 games without getting on base. I think it's 3 times, maybe 4, he's gone 2 games without getting a hit. He hasn't gone 3.
Right.
It's amazing. You want to say, well, how is he adjusted? Well, no. How are they going to adjust to him? With those kind of numbers, after 100 games, you know, be it that he never slumps, be it that he has 30 home runs, and I think that was McGuire, Judge had 30, and Pete Alonso had more after 100 games. That's it. The guy has adjusted before other teams. He's like a supernatural talent. There's nothing he can't do. And so that's why you go, oh, it's okay, we can gush after just 100 games. With a lot of players, you want to go, well, hey, let's slow it down.
Right.
That said, you know, there was a reason he missed the so many games last year and only played 84 games. And that's mm-hmm. why I thought it was important that he has indeed, which you knew he would, changed the way that he has played.
And you, nothing against Pete Alonso and Mark McGuire, but, I mean, Tatis does so much more. You know, those guys were first basemen. It's impossible for them to have the same sort of impact on the game that he's had. I mean, it's for a shortstop to be doing this and to be playing a better shortstop this year than he did last year. Not as many spectacular plays, but not wasting any opportunities and not making any bad throws and that sort of thing. So, again, you keep thinking that it can't go on like this, and he's going to hit a stretch where he goes, I don't know, 3 days, a week, even a little bit longer, where, you know, he slumps, because that's the nature of this game.
Sure.
But so far, it really hasn't happened. And as I said before, and I guess we'll keep saying, I just think you have to just enjoy what we have. It's been so long since we've had a player in San Diego who's been able to excite people like this. I mean, I guess maybe we're changing sports here, but LaDainian Tomlinson, maybe the last time that this, I mean, people love Philip Rivers, but it was sort of a different situation. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson was special and a no doubt Hall of Famer and did things we hadn't seen before. But I guess I go back to that. The difference with Tatis is it's every day, you know. Tomlinson, you got 16 games a year. The Padres have just played 16 games. And we have, 44 more for Tatis to play and show what he can do.
It's every day. It's things that while LT was doing things that, you know, not a lot of people had done. I mean, we see things and because of what we see, we think we're going to continue to see things that people haven't done in the sport. And mm-hmm. there's one team left in San Diego now, too. So, I mean,
right,
the spotlight is Fernando Tatis Jr.
One major team. Don't get me in any more trouble than I'm usually in with people. One major pro sports team left in San Diego.
I will say, obviously, before you had said that on the podcast, I had written a little something in the newsletter about, let's just, you know, maybe we should just enjoy Tatis. So I absolutely agree with you. Obviously, I have been talking with a few people, and I had texted last week jokingly about, $1 billion. And one of the things is it's just not wise really for anybody. This is just too early. Anybody. Why would Tatis sell him short right now? And why would the Padres, with everything that's going on? I mean, what do you even value this guy? So I just threw out as being funny. And, you know, at some point after the third or fourth home run, I've actually lost track. It's 5 in the last 4 days. You know, I sent out, you know, $1.5 billion. So it's truly incredible. And at some point, it will become very interesting how much Fernando Tatis Jr. is worth.
Right, right. I don't see that point being this year, and maybe not even next year. I mean, I just don't, you know, you don't see where he's, he can't go anywhere at this point.
How about 1 year of arbitration, see what happens in the CBA, and
right,
because
right.
after 1 year of arbitration, he still has 2 years of control. So
as the way things stand now, correct.
As the way things stand now.
Yeah.
And I'll have a better idea. I think it would take a global shift for owners to give up 1 year. But hey, that's a real, you know, not to get too deep into that. That's an incredible bargaining chip for the owners. Hey, yeah,
right,
we'll give you, we'll take 1 year away. Give us everything else. So who knows? But how about 1 year of arbitration or in his arbitration, first arbitration year is when they actually start talking. Mookie Betts showed that the best talent is going to get paid. Baseball, both sides do sort of need to let everything settle post pandemic to see what kind of money they're going to be throwing around.
Oh, there's no doubt. But anyway, we didn't want to get, that's one of those things we don't want to get too far into. Tatis did have some help, not on Saturday night.
Maybe even bigger news.
It was a wasted game. But yesterday, you know, for six innings, it looked like, you know, the Padres hit six homers in the first three innings. And yet the story of the game wasn't decided until, you know, an hour or so later, because Dinelson Lamet, for the second time in a week, didn't give up a hit. Yesterday was the seventh inning. The previous game was two outs in the sixth. He is becoming a guy that, you know, sort of must watch baseball also. What was your takeaway from Lamet yesterday, even compared with, was it similar to you in terms of how he pitched against the Dodgers, or did you see anything different yesterday?
I thought it was so much better, even though the Diamondbacks, for some reason, with all those lefties, are really struggling against righties this year.
Right.
I thought, you know, and the fact that he went 5 2/3 against the Dodgers, super, super impressive. But he did not have the command that he had yesterday. And since we all know, guys, I remember, Jay, I wasn't even on the beat. I was a columnist, and we were talking about Dinelson Lamet. I got to go out and see this guy. You talked about, you know, him. And it was the command, and you're like, this guy's never going to go nine innings because he
couple
of games. So yesterday, if he lost it, it was for like one or two pitches. Every other time, there was a strikeout of Cole Calhoun, who was the guy who ended up breaking up the no-hitter with a line drive home run. There was three straight sliders. It was, I think, a called one that dropped into the top of the zone, a swinging one that fell below the zone, and then another one that went swinging that went to the spot where Calhoun thought the second one was going to go. Three sliders in a row. Boom, boom, boom. Different. It was really impressive. And the fact that he pulled himself out of when you thought, oh, well, maybe he's lost it here, or, okay, here's the spot that Nelson Lamet, that old Dinelson Lamet, it never showed up. That was super impressive.
I'm sure Arizona can't wait to face him again this week, since the Padres play Arizona every other game now.
I've already thought of that. Those are veteran hitters, and it will be interesting to see what he does. And
there's
no reason to think that Larry Rothschild, Dinelson Lamet won't figure out how to mix it up a little bit more. But those guys looked so bad on so many pitches yesterday, the slider. Mm-hmm. Particular, that their plan next time just has to be, we got to wait and see if that guy could do this again. We're not going and swinging like that again.
So, which takes us, and we can go back to this weekend if we wanted, they kind of gave away Saturday's game. Paddock wasn't great, but, you know, he gave up three runs in 5 2/3 or whatever. I thought 5 2/3 it was. I thought the game, and Jeff Sanders pointed this out in his recap that's online right now. I thought the game really turned where the Padres were unable to, first and third after the Garcia double, the Tatis single. I mean, I even thought at the time, boy, they should have sent Garcia. And then I said, oh, no, there's nobody out. You know, you can't risk it. Grisham chased a 3-2 changeup and struck out. And then Machado hit a ball, actually hit it pretty hard, but right at somebody for a double play. And the Padres were unable to get a run there. And just those little things. I mean, they were unable to score at all this weekend when they didn't hit a home run. So that's something to sort of keep an eye on. That I know the game's changed, but you still need to find ways to score when you're not hitting the ball over the fence.
Yes. And I thought that then to encouraging for them yesterday was that they didn't have those crucial at bats where, of course, they didn't get many other people on with one or zero outs, but they didn't have those crucial at bats like Grisham had had, like Pham had had, where it just looked like guys were doing what the old Padres did, which was pressing. And you know, it's uncharacteristic for them, but when it happens in big moments and you're in a playoff race, then it shows up. And they didn't have those yesterday. They were much, much better yesterday. And we should point out, look, he's not who he used to be, Madison Bumgarner, but obviously he had back spasms yesterday, probably shouldn't have even pitched. So the Padres did exactly what they were supposed to against an old left-hander who has back problems.
Right. Where I was going before I said we can look back at the weekend a little bit was Lamette will be the starter who does not face the Dodgers this week as the Padres and you head up to L.A. So we'll see. They made a little bit of a change today where Perdomo is going to pitch tonight against Dustin May, and that leaves Garrett Richards with an extra day to face Ross Stripling on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday night, Zach Davies, who pitched really well on Friday against Arizona, will go against Urias. And then the big sort of marquee finale on Thursday with Paddock and Kershaw. So obviously really looking forward to this weekend or to this week and see the series. What are you going to be looking for? Other than I'm really curious about Dodger Stadium, empty Dodger Stadium. Will it be as loud as full Dodger Stadium is? Will that PA system be cranked up not just to 11, but to like 15?
Well, they have a new sound system, I believe. You know, they were going to have the All-Star game, right? And so they have a new sound system in a
park. Oh, right.
The old sound system was out there in the outfield. And so it blew in. That's part of the reason it was so loud. And then what I want to see is the person that is manning the fake crowd noise, when there's a routine fly ball, will he crank it up like 50,000 people think it's going out of the ballpark? That's what will be fun. It's so strange. And you attended your first game on Saturday. Like I've said before, you can be focused on the game. And especially if you're watching Tatis and the energy, right? And forget that there, you really can't if you're focused on the game. Then you sit back and to see an empty park is amazing. Like it's so surreal. Dodger Stadium is obviously the biggest one in baseball. Mm-hmm. This is going to be really interesting for me, at least. I think I understand on TV that it's not necessarily that noticeable.
In terms of Dodger Stadium or just
anywhere? In terms of the not seeing the fans.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think seeing fans, not seeing fans makes a big deal. One thing I noticed the other night, I was going to save this to the end, but I thought it was one of the things you can sort of count on, especially when you're in the press box and you've got your laptop out and you're trying to keep up on some other things. And you can always sort of count on the crowd to kind of tell you what's happening. You know, there's the crack of the bat, but there's also the crowd that jumps in. And that's one of the things that I mentioned to you that night that's really missing. And you get a ground ball, the Diamondbacks had a runner on first, and there was a ground ball hit to Tatis. And you're waiting for that, like, anticipation of the crowd. People are getting excited. It's going to be a double play. There isn't that. You know, Eric Hosmer hit that ball the other night. It got to the warning track at the end of the game. I didn't think there was ever a chance that that was going out, but the roar of the crowd that would have accompanied that hit at that moment is missing it. And look, obviously when home runs are hit and that sort of thing, you're missing it, but it's those other little things that you miss during that time. One thing I sort of find interesting and enjoyable in a sense is that you do sort of hear what's going on with the dugouts, and you know the Padre dugout, the Arizona dugout, especially seemed even a little bit louder.
Did you hear yesterday when on TV when Calhoun hit the home run? Was it audible on TV? What happened?
I couldn't tell, but I will admit that I was watching most of yesterday's game without sound.
Okay,
I had the PGA on my big screen, and I was watching the Padres. So on the little
screen, F word. From the Padres.
Could you identify it?
No, and there were some voice, but it just, I mean, That was pretty funny. You heard a couple times on Saturday. Was it Saturday? No, it was Friday. The Diamondbacks yelling, you know, damn or something, because they couldn't figure out Zach Davies. it is a little.
I'm gonna go back. Sorry, I'm gonna go back and watch the video on the MLB side of the home run yesterday from Calhoun and see if you can hear, because sometimes you can catch that on the replay.
I'd be surprised if you couldn't. I was remiss to have not asked you, but it turns out you were watching golf as well. But
got to multitask, Kevin. It was the first major in over a year.
Selfishly, I would like there to be no crowd noise so I could hear everything going on the field.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
The players wouldn't like it. They just wouldn't. Not to be heard, but certainly that. But the energy, it'd be like an inter squad game on the backfield, even more than it is right now. So
that was what came to mind, and I said to you that it seems like if you take away the music, it does feel like sort of a backfield game at spring training. And I didn't really notice sort of the white noise in the background until the game ended and it was gone. And then it was like, wow, it's really quiet right now.
Being at a wedding or at a closing time at the bar.
That was very odd to just sort of be hit with this sudden silence.
So what am I looking
like
for?
That. I do want to say one quick thing about the noise, though. I kind of expected and was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't really cranked up when somebody hit a fly ball or a ground ball. And I think I actually wanted to say that I think that's a good thing the Padres are doing, because I think it could almost be distracting to certainly have this sort of artificial burst of noise like that. I think that part of it they handled pretty well.
They did a really, and I told you before, it was clear that the Giants and the Rockies had not. The Padres production crew practiced every single intra-squad game so that they were ready for the start of the season. And so it has been. Is it a little janky? Is it weird? That's not their fault. It's the way it is. What am I looking
for? I did laugh at the make noise sign, though, before the start of the game. The make noise on the – come on, club employees over there in section 208. We need to hear
it from you. And all the videos. I think it's great. And the players, you see them watching more now than they used to.
Yeah. It's too bad because the – it's too bad people can't be there, because I think the graphics are definitely improved this year. I mean, obviously the brown color scheme helps, but the graphics on the scoreboard, way more information this year, and I really, really too bad that fans, for there's so many reasons why it's too bad fans can't be there, but that's another one, because I did think that was an improvement. Now if they would just put some dimensions on the wall. But anyway, Kevin, what are we looking for in LA this weekend?
Well, the bullpen games
this week, I keep saying.
That'll be interesting. How does the bullpen come out of that? And not to skip ahead too much, but I want to see what Chris Paddock does. He has not been sensational this year. He has not been bad.
Right.
He has not taken that next step. And as a matter of fact, I thought that his past start on Saturday was maybe a step back. That's how good he is. 5 2/3 innings. This guy was that close to a quote unquote quality start. And, you know, that's all well and good. That's not what we expect out of Chris Paddock. They're fouling off more pitches. They're making better contact. He's not getting strikeouts. And now I'm not saying that not getting strikeouts is the end all, but, you know, we're looking for that next step, and especially with the curveball working as well as it is. So I am really looking forward to Wednesday to see what he does. And you know him; he'll be geeked up to go against Kershaw. So
that'll actually be Thursday. I'm looking forward to Wednesday, and also because I want to see what Zach Davies does against the Dodgers. I mean, you know, is he able to do what we've seen so far in most of his other innings? You know, against the Dodger lineup. Now I haven't looked up what he's done against the Dodgers in the past, and you know, we can get to that later in the week. But I'm curious to see how his stuff and the way he pitches works against the Dodgers, because they did not see him in the series down here last week.
Yep. So, and then, you know, obviously Tommy Pham, that guy's going to murder someone, all right? Because he's hitting the ball like 120 miles an hour almost every time up, and it's out every time. And then there's some, you know, the last couple yesterday, he just looked frustrated, a little bit off. And Trent Grisham, still not chasing pitches, except for that one that we talked about. Right. But he's getting on base as much as he used to. The top of the order, are they going to continue, or are they going to build off of yesterday, I should say?
Right. And I, you know, I know there's always talk, especially when Tatis keeps hitting home runs, about whether he should be dropped in the order, you know, to second or third. And I guess the first question I have is who are you putting first? I mean, they don't have a guy right now to me that you can rely on to have an on base percentage high enough to justify putting in that spot. To me, that gets Tatis the most at bats. Right now, he's the guy you want to have with the most at bats, and I don't have any issue with him hitting at the top of the order right now.
If Tommy Pham was getting on base at a 360 clip or something like that, or Trent Grisham still was,
right,
I think there'd be a real temptation to say, let's put our RBI machine, our extra base hit machine, down. Well, you can't clone him, and so just give him as many at bats as you can is the thinking. So. There you go.
Can we try?
Oh, it might be cheaper. It might be cheaper for them to figure out how to clone him.
That's very true. All right. Well, I know you're off on the road and L.A. and then a couple of places where thankfully you'll be indoors for baseball, since I'm sure it'll be about 130 degrees in Phoenix and Dallas. So we will wish you safe travels, and we'll talk to you on Friday from Phoenix after a big series against the Dodgers.
Thank you, everybody.